Hey, Melissa, if you'd like to come with me in the book of Luke 17, chapter 17, we're going to start at verse 11. Let me read this first to you. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." As they went, they were cleansed. Hallelujah. 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 One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus. He thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Lord, we thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your word. Let's go to this wonderful passage. It starts by saying, now on his way to Jerusalem. This is a section that starts that Jesus is going to teach people as he goes to Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem represent? Jerusalem is the place that our Lord Jesus Christ will be crucified. The place that is his destiny. This is why he came on earth, was to die so we may live. The author, Luke, intentionally say that now on his way to Jerusalem. So that's very important. This is the first part. He's not going back where you were. Now he's heading for the place where he will die. And then it says, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as you read this, you may think that he was alone. But you will see by scripture a few verses later, he was not alone. Jesus was traveling with his disciples and also the other people that gathered to see what Jesus would do. At this point in the scripture, Jesus had done many, many, many miracles. That was not the beginning of his ministry. Okay? So, it says that between the border of Samaria and Galilee, if I could explain this in simple word for those who live in Bedell or Woodstock, you're really close to the border of the United States. Is that right? So, if I go to Houlton, Maine, I might meet people from New Brunswick, right? If I'm American and I go to Woodstock for shopping, I might meet people, you see, they could be Americans in the Canadian area and vice versa, right? So what the intention of the author, Luke, here is give us a little indicator that he, as Jesus goes into a village, he might meet Galileans, but he might also meet Samaritans, right? Because he's traveling on the border between those two places. So that gives us a little indicator that he might meet Samaritans or Galileans. And as it says in the word right here, as he was going into a village, well, this is what Jesus was doing all the time. From one village to another, from one village to another and another, bringing the gospel, healing the sick, setting free those who were bound. This is what Jesus did, raising the dead. That's what he did over and over and over again. So we could just picture, like, you know, you see Jesus, the disciples, and then the other people are just watching what's going on, what's going to happen. And then as he approached the village, before he enters the village, there's 10 men who had leprosy. Well, leprosy, well, actually the word, the Greek word that is mentioned here, it's not just leprosy. It could be any serious skin disease. And when those the people had this kind of disease, actually, it's a disease that everybody can see, right? And usually, it's, you know, everybody can see. They had to go to a priest, and then the priest would not like being a doctor, but a priest was the one to say, clean or unclean, because if they would have this disease, they would be called unclean, and they would have to go outside of the town. They were social outcast. So let's read this in Leviticus. Come with me in Leviticus. So just listen to me as I say it. Leviticus. It's 13, verse 46. It says here, as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must they must live alone. They must live outside the camp. And if you go in Numbers 5, verse 2 and 3, it says, command the Israelite to send away from the camp anyone who has a defiling skin disease, right? That's, leprosy is one of those, but there's other things, other sickness also that have this. It's defile skin disease. And then a little further, it says, send away male and female alike, verse 3, send them outside the camp so they will not defile their camp where I dwell among them. So that's what happened to people. Let's say, let's just imagine this, okay? Maybe you're in your 40s, you have a wife, you have three kids, and maybe one grandchild, let's say. And suddenly you start having this disease, okay? You were, you were a doctor, okay? And you get this disease. You have to go to the priest, and he says, unclean, you have to get out of the camp. That means that you're separated from your wife, from your children, from your grandchild. You do no longer are able to do the work, the doctor, whatever work you have. You cannot work anymore, nor go to the grocery store and buy some food. You are totally outside. You're cut off from every relationship, except the only relationship you're going to have is with those who have the same disease. That's why those 10 lepers, they were all together. They were together because they had one thing in common. they had the same kind of disease. It's important to understand here as we read the word what those people have felt. And as Jesus was approaching the village, those 10 men, it says in the word that they stood at a distance. Why did they stand at a distance? Because by the law, they were not allowed to approach people. Okay, they were outside the camp, I mean outside, let's say outside the town. Okay, and when they would see somebody, let's say I would see Bill right here, I would have to be covered like this and then all bad clothing, and I would have to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. Do you imagine what they felt like? Their sickness was just not physical. They were torn apart within. So they stood at a distance because they were not allowed to get closer. They stood at a distance. They had to stand at a distance. But when they cry out in a loud voice, what they cried out was, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Can you imagine them, the 10 together, shouting this because they want to make sure they were heard? What? You know, I preached on the Samaritan woman the last time I preached here, and I explained to you that the Samaritan woman did not know who Jesus was. And then through the story, you see how he reveals himself as being the Messiah, the Savior, right? And she gets saved. But in this case, they knew who he was because what they shouted was not, have mercy. They shouted, Jesus. So they have heard, or they have seen one or the other, the miracle worker, Jesus. They had seen him or heard about him. They knew who he was. And when they said master, this term in the book of Luke is only, it would be only the disciple that would call Jesus master. When they said the name master, what they meant by master is that he had authority. Authority over what? Authority over sicknesses. Authority over demons. Authority. When he spoke the word, he had authority. So that's why they said Jesus, they knew who he was. Master, they knew what he was doing. And they were desperate to be set free. When you cry, I don't know if you ever cried in a loud voice, but I think my husband knows I do cry in a loud voice. Sorry. But you know, when you get desperate and you're praying for people or you're praying for different things and it comes out in a loud voice because you're crying out to your master because you know only him can do something about this, and you are the crying out in a loud voice to be heard is also what we go through. We also cry out for different things that God would have mercy on us and do things right. So they cried out. They were not saved because we know because of the story. They were not born again. They were not saved. Let's say they didn't. But they knew who Jesus was, and they knew he was the one that could set them free from that, to be back to their family, back to their work, back to what they used to have. You see, lepers could have been children. It could have been, like in this case, it's 10 men. But there was kids that had the sickness. There was women, there was men, there was just the story, 10 men. But that affected many people. So that's why they said, it says in the word, they stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And then the next verse, it says, when he saw them, I'm sure he heard them, but he saw them. You see, Jesus had compassion. He saw them. He saw their condition. He saw their pain. He saw their desperation. He heard them. And look what he said to them. Go, show yourself to the priest. We know that in the chapter 5 of the same book, there's a story about a leper and Jesus touches him and he gets healed. But in this case, he did not touch them. Jesus does things differently many times. That's why when we pray for people, folks, let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because God do things differently in the Bible, the way he healed people. But here he says, go show yourself to the priest. The only reason these people could go to the priest would be if they would be healed. Because they would go to the priest if ever they didn't have that sickness no more. They would go to the priest, and then the priest would say, clean. Okay, you're no more unclean. You're clean now. He would be the one to declare their status. And then they could return to their camp, to their life, to their their town where they lived. Jesus tells them, go and show yourself to the priest. Those 10 men, when he said that, they didn't say, well, no, we can't go, Jesus, because we're not healed. Heal us and then we'll go to the priest. We're not going to go to the priest. We're still lepers. Look at us. That's not what they did. You see, they have heard what Jesus did. Or they have seen, but they have heard for sure. They knew he could heal them. They knew it. And they had faith that they would receive healing. So as they went, they were cleansed. That's what the Bible says. As they went, they were cleansed. So they obeyed God. They obeyed Jesus. And they had faith that he would heal them. So they went. And 10 of them, they got healed, which is so awesome, isn't it? Doesn't deserve a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. They were cleansed, powerful. Okay, imagine this. They're 10, you know, they're messed up, they're not shaved. I mean, they look terrible. I mean, they don't have all the stuff. They're skinny because they don't eat much anymore. No wife to cook for them. I know, it's a joke. But anyway, so they're like this. They're walking, you know, like, okay, let's go. I believe he's going to heal us. And then healed, powerful. Oh, glory. Powerful. So, in the story, after it says one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice, etc. There were 10 men. They were walking together. They got all healed at the same time. They were walking, believing Jesus could heal them. 9 of them, when they got healed, it's not just the one. They all got healed. 9 of them, when they cried out for Jesus, what they wanted, it was something from Jesus. They wanted to be healed. You know, you can go to Jesus because you need something, not because you want him for who he is. The 9, when they saw they were healed, they probably went to the priest, they got restored in their life, and they went about their lives. Let's go make money. Let's go see our family. Let's go do the things we wanted so bad to do. Forget about the giver. We got the gift. Let's go. We got the gift. We've been healed. You see, I love Jesus. And he gave me so much. There's no words. But I love his presence. I love the relationship I have with him. When I go to him, it's not just to tell him all my requests. I do that too, but this is not the only thing I do when I meet him, when I go into his presence. I love him. I adore him. I pour my life, my everything over. He's everything to me. He's everything to me. I have a relationship. Yes, but when he transformed my life, all I, all I, who, of who I was, I gave it to him. I said, Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. I didn't say, oh, thank you now. I'm much better now. I'm going to do and have a career or whatever. I have nothing wrong about a career, sorry for my English. It depends what God wants of you. What does he want of you? I just wanted to know, what do you want of my life? And I was a missionary in the end. I met my husband. But you see, those nine were healed. But when they got healed, they got the gift. They forgot about the giver and they went to live their lives. They were ungrateful. They never even came back to Jesus to say thank you. Where are we? What are we doing with the gift that he gives us? Do we only want gifts? I mean, I love to see people healed. I love to see people getting things from God, and I love it, and he's given me so much. But there's more to it than receiving a healing or money from the Lord or different miracles. There's more. There's a relationship that we only can grow in relationship by the devotion, prayer, and the word. And as we fellowship one another, as we grow in the church with one another. Amen? So it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed. You see, I believe that when it says he saw he was healed, that the other one, of course, they saw, they knew they were healed. But when it says, the author wants us to make an emphasis here. He wants to tell us, this man, compared to the nine one, they're two different categories. They're two different type of people, folks. When he saw he was healed, I believe that his spiritual eyes were open. I believe that when he was healed, he received much more than his restoration, his body was healed. He came back, and for me, when you go back, it's like a sense, it's like a repentance. When we go this way, like the 10 were going like this, and when he saw he came back, that means he turned around, and he went after a relationship with the one who gave him that healing. It's a turnaround. He got saved, folks. Did Jesus want to save only one among the 10? No! You see, Jesus is asking of us a response. This is what he did for Abby. He died on the cross for Abby. But it's for Abby to respond. This is what he did for Kathy, for me. But do we respond to what he does? He's asking for a response, right? So one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back. So imagine, he came back. He was going this way. And now he's going that way. He came back praising God in a loud voice. Okay, folks, you need to imagine he was not alone on the planet like a one man on earth. There was people around. Everywhere. But he didn't care. He did not care. He was so grateful, so because his eyes been opened, he knew he was healed, and he just wanted to praise him out loud. Everybody heard him. Whoa, what's going on with this guy? He was so excited about what happened that he let it out. He let it out. Out loud, praising God. So imagine him. You know, he was like this. And then he got healed. And then his eyes opened and he turned around. Praising God in a loud voice. This is what we're all to do when we get touched by God. And I just want to, this is the first step. The first step actually is when they met Jesus. That was the first step, right? Many times before we get saved or get touched by God, God starts doing things that we are aware of his existence, and then he reveals to us in a greater way, greater measure who he is. So the first step, they met, and then one of them came back and he went to Jesus, okay? So I had some notes this time. Anyway, So, I'm not good, like my husband with notes, he's so good with notes. Anyway, so I just want to show you a few examples. Few examples of people when they got healed or touched by God, what happened. And this is the first thing he did. He was praising God. It goes deeper than that, but the first thing that we hear is because he praised God. So let's just... Okay, let's go to the same book, Luke. Let's go Luke 2:20. We're just going to go. I'm going to go quick, okay? So you don't have to turn there. It's all right. 2:20, it says, the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God. This is when we know the story about the birth of Jesus. So the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God. And let's go to 5, chapter 5, 25, 26 of the same book. 5, 25, 26. Here it says, immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. That's the one that he was paralyzed and got healed. And so, see, he took his mat and whoop, he praised God, okay? So another example quickly, 7, 16, 17, chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. Same book, 17. This is just example of the same book, 16, 17. It says here, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked. Oh, well, no, that's my story. Forget it. Sorry. Not 17, 7. I'm sorry. Chapter 7. I thought something was wrong. Okay, chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. That's better. And it says, they were all filled with awe and praise God. That's the when the Jesus raised the widow's son that was dead. So you see, this is a response. When Jesus does something, I keep on praising him for things from way before, not just the thing of today. I praise him because I'm so in awe of what he does in my life. So then if we go to 13:13. Chapter 13, verse 13. And it says, then he put his hands on her, and immediately she strengthened up and praised God. That's the woman that so many years she was crippled like this, you know. And God delivered her. Powerful story. Immediately she straightened up. And what did she do? Praise God. Okay, so this is, and 23, 4, 47, same thing. 23, verse 47, it says, the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. But he praised God when he saw what happened in the days of Jesus. So these are just a few examples of the one book of Luke, how people respond when they get healed and touched by God, delivered, or whatever. Okay, so in my story here, this is what he said when he came back and he was praising God in a loud voice. And then it says, and it's very important we see that it's more than that, that what happened here. That's why I said that when he saw he was healed, his spiritual eyes opened up. There was a lot more than just being healed for him. And then it says right here, it says he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. This is powerful because you see what he did when you throw yourself at someone's feet, you submit, you surrender. That's what he did. People can get healed, and Jesus healed many people that never got saved. And that showed me that I can pray for people that are unsaved because Jesus did it. Because Jesus is merciful, his mercy extends to all mankind. But you see, Jesus had something a lot more than that, that him being restored and socially and been restored physically and emotionally, though he did these things, but he had more for the one who would respond, the one who would come back and throw themselves at Jesus' feet. What, by saying that, is you're my Lord. When he threw himself at the feet of Jesus, you are my Lord. You're not just the one I heard that he's a miracle worker. Okay, you can say Jesus is a miracle worker. But is he your Lord? Is he the one that you have abandoned your life? That you said, Lord, here I am. Do whatever you want with me. Jesus saved this man. And then it's interesting that the author, Luke, he could have said at the beginning that there was 10 men and one of them was a Samaritan. But he just says right there after, and he was a Samaritan. And remember here that Jesus was not alone. Jesus, every time he did a miracle, he had his disciples and other people. He taught people. He taught his disciples. And he's going to teach them a lesson here. Because probably the 9 others, they were Jews, probably. They were Galileans. I told you about the beginning of the story on the border between Samaria and Galilee. You see, the Jewish people, they knew about the Messiah. But none of them came to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus saved a lot of Jewish people. I'm not saying he's not saving Jewish people in that context. Jesus is teaching, remember, Jesus is doing a miracle, but he's also teaching those who walk with him. Because the disciples will continue the work that Jesus did, right? We are the body of Christ. We're the one to continue the work that Jesus did. Correct? So let's say, and he was a Samaritan, the author wanted us to know, the Samaritan, I explained that before, the Samaritan, I mean, the Jewish and Samaritan people, they hated each other because the worshiper was supposed to worship in Jerusalem, and Samaritans were worshiping on Mount Gerizim, which was not what God wanted them to do. And the intermarriage, and there was a lot of things, okay? But you see, sometimes you see Jesus, he shows like, hey, wake up. The one who turned to me was the Samaritan. It was not the religious people. It was a Samaritan that turned him. So I want you to see here that Jesus, he was a Samaritan, Jesus asked, and that's important. We look in the text that says, Jesus asked, does it say Jesus asked the Samaritan or Jesus asked the former leper? No, Jesus asked. What Jesus is about to say here, he's not saying it just to the Samaritan. He's there, the Samaritan. He's telling those among them, you and me that are also reading this today. And this is what he says, and this is what he's asking us. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And this is what Jesus tells the people right now, the disciples and the other that are surrounding, that are right there following, you know, want to know what's going on. And when I read this, my heart broke because I felt the pain that Jesus, I felt a glimpse, a drop of the pain that Jesus must have felt. You see, Jesus died for all humankind. But few are entering the kingdom of God compared to humanity. He's asking, were not all 10 cleansed? It breaks his heart to see that the others did not. He had more to offer them than just being cleansed and being restored socially. He had more for them. He wanted to give them eternal life. Do you feel the pain that Jesus goes through? As so many people say no They do not respond to what Jesus has done for them. I felt a drop of that pain by the grace of God because He opened my eyes. And I was asking, Lord, where are all the people that once was in Bethel Pentecostal Assembly? Where are they? Those who you saved or those who you healed? Maybe some in other churches, praise God. But some are not. Where are they in those 57 years? Where are the others? You see, Jesus was talking to all those who were around Him. And He asked them, were not all 10 cleansed? You see, there's no fault on Jesus' part. Are we going to respond to Him? And us as Christians, if you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian and you listen to this website and you're not a Christian, I beg you, today is a day of salvation. Come to Jesus as you are. Come to Him. Repent of your sin. Turn back. Repent. And throw yourself at Jesus' feet and ask Him to save your life. Do not wait. You do not know when your life will be taken away from you. Come to Jesus. I plead with you. When Jesus said, has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? What He meant by foreigner, if I live in Canada and someone comes from, from Germany or from England or something, he's a foreigner, right? So why did Jesus say a foreigner about the Samaritan? Because it was outside of God's chosen people, they were foreigner. That's what it means. Everybody outside of Jewish people would be foreigner. And it was not, when He said that, it was not to accuse Him of anything, right? But it shows like, hey, how about you, all Jewish people? Because He had a Jewish crowd probably in there. What are you doing about what I did? Well, He's about to do, but what He did with all the miracles He did, right? And then it says, then He said to him, you see, at first he Jesus asked, so He was talking to the people around him. But now He turns to the Samaritan. He turns to the former leper, because he's no longer a leper, that came back. He could have done like the other 9. He could have just run and have a good life. But he came back because he wanted a relationship with Jesus. And he said to him, rise. So the time that Jesus was talking to the other people around him, he was still his face down at the feet of Jesus. That's why Jesus says, rise, because he was there. He stayed there, broken probably for what he had done as a sinner. But in total awe of Jesus. And Jesus tells him, rise and go. So now it's time for him. He will go back probably where he come from, but with a different heart, because now he's saved. He will go back, and probably he's going to talk about, if he praised God all the way back to Jesus, and believe me, I believe that this man went to his town and did, do you know what? Look at me! I'm no longer a leper! I'm so happy now! But it's Jesus! I met Him! He changed my life! Amen! He's not going to be ashamed! He was not ashamed going back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. Not a pitch like one, but anyway, a little like this probably. But anyway, so this is amazing, you know. Jesus tells him, rise. I can just see him, you know, with his eyes full of compassion, his love. One is saved. His heart is broken for the other nine. His heart is broken for the other nine. But when he looks at him, he has compassion, and he knows he, at least one of them, came to him. And he said, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." You see, when you read some version would say, "Your faith has saved you." Because with the Greek word, you could say save or healed. And it's important to know that he was already healed, right? So what he says to the one that he never said to the nine, because all they did is get the gift and run with their lives, forget about the giver. What he did, the Samaritan, he went for the giver. He came back for the giver, for Jesus himself. And he was already healed. So when Jesus said that to him, "Your faith has made you well," what he means is your faith has saved you. You see, there's a difference between a faith that saves and a faith for a miracle to happen to our life. Because many people in the Bible, and you know you've read this book, many people were healed, never came to Jesus, never had Jesus as a personal Savior. Because God is merciful, and he extends his mercy to all. But there's so much more than receiving a healing or a miracle from Jesus. There's so much more. And you see, Jesus wanted the 10 of them to receive this, but they did not. But one of them did. So what we can learn in this, you know, it's like, for me, when I read the Bible, I always see myself within the story. And I ask always that God would speak to me. As I read the word, I pray them over myself. And I want to know what Jesus felt when he gone through these things. And I want to know what, you know, what way am I supposed to respond to Jesus, what he does. And as we do this, we grow in the Lord, right? We grow in the faith. And I'm really blessed, you know, that this would push me more to go out for the one that is lost, those who are lost out there. Because he's asking, where are the other? I died for all humanity. Where are the others? Where are they in our churches in Woodstock? And pray with me, because what we're praying, my husband and I, we're praying for divine appointments. We're praying for Woodstock area, that God would touch people. On church, people would come to church. That's one of our prayers, because there's people that know Jesus, but they are not going to a church. We need the church. We need one another. We do. And for the lost, that God will give us his heart. And we would also say, God, where are the other ones? And we will get a burden for the souls in the name of Jesus. Amen.